right, if you came to church earlier today at 2:30, you know there was a wonderful refreshment and labor of love from Siu Chin, but a couple of young adults also helped in the preparation, but she's not here. Is she here, Siu Chin? Okay, let's wait for her and we give her a big clap. Huh? Right, but please show your appreciation to some, what I call, delightful Asian treats. And really wonderful to have a sister who really, Sunday after Sunday, show up, full of labor of love. Okay, when she's back, I'll thank her one more time. But y'all look as if it's the first time I'm saying it, right? All right. We are on this series on family and talk about family values. And I think many of us really, if you have been following what I've been sharing, Pastor Jeremy is talking about how as family we need to grow, and sometimes within our family we experience dysfunctional situation. But the good thing is once we are in Christ, once we know God as sons and daughters, we have a Father who reparent us. And He is the perfect, righteous Father. In that sense, through that journey of faith, the journey of following Jesus, whatever pain or trauma or disappointment we may have with our family, we only can trust that God will bring that clarity, that fullness, and that healing, so that as He repairs us, not just by His word, but also through His spirit of love, we become not better people, but we become holy people, fullness of the glory of God working in us, that we can be a blessing to the people of God. And for the next couple of Sundays, I want to share with you something that God has laid in my heart as we want to talk more about family values, which is what I want to focus on. I just want to put something as a foundational truth, especially for those of us. Have you ever read the Bible, it doesn't make sense to you? Right? So many of us have this situation. We read the Bible, sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Not doesn't mean the Bible doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's that we may lack certain foundational understanding or some of the things that as we need to so-called unpack or unlock the Bible. And this is important because, as you know, that for the past couple of weeks, I've been meeting with ex-cult member, and the idea is I was quite fascinated that some of these ex-cult member, they go for Bible study 3 times a week. Right? And they have to memorize 20 verses a week. Let alone some of us, we can't remember 20 verses for whole life. Right? If I ask you, what's your verse now? Besides John 3:16? What other verses do you know? Besides your own life verse, what other verses do you know? Right? So it's not put us to shame, because the Word of God is where God is speaking to us. But His Spirit is the one who brings understanding. And sometimes we ask God for understanding, but if we don't read the Word of God, there is a disconnect. Or we can read the Word of God like a rule book, instead of it's a relational thing that God is speaking to me through His Word, but His Spirit empowers me to understand. And so many of us, sometimes we stay away from reading the Word, not because we don't believe it is the Word of God, but because it can be too daunting. But at the same time, no, we may not have the habit of really spending time, really just read and read and read and trust the Spirit of God will work in our heart to give us a rhema word. And so at this point, I want us to begin to understand what I want to help you all to identify what we call biblical patterns. Okay, look at slide number 4. Okay, very good. I hope you can read it. If you're not, I will put a slide somewhere in our Facebook. But really, if you look at Scripture, there is a pattern. And this pattern is repetitive in a sense. You can see it almost every time as you read the Word of God. In fact, I'm not the first one. There are others who have also noticed that pattern, and the way they name it or the way they present it may be different. But a lot of people who are serious studying the Bible, whether you're a Bible teacher or you are a scholar or theologian or you're simply a person who loves the Bible, as you read the Word, you begin to find the pattern. The first thing we need to look is from this side. Now, we're going to go clockwise. So the third we see is creation. When we use the word creation, we are referring that God gives good gifts for humanity to use. So when God created the heavens and the earth, remember He says they were gold, they were precious stone. And those things were there long before Rio Tinto minded, right? But they was there. Right, so God has given us good gifts to use. God has put all these things out there long before for man to use. So it is called creation. But we also know from the creation story, there was rebellion. Right, rebellion is when humanity abuses God's good gift. Right, so God gave them a garden. God gives them a relationship. God gave them resources. And we know through history, humanity have abused the resources and relationship God has given us. Right? And whether it's that rebellion against what God is educating or helping us to have that freedom, that rebellion leads to oppression. Oppression is what happens is where humanity faces so-called the effects or consequences of rebellion. So when Adam and Eve rebel against what God was saying, they no longer could stay in the garden. They had to leave. God created them to be like Him, in His image, in His likeness. And so they were supposed to be like the Father, to be a creator, to be someone that is like the Father who is always what? Producing. But even after they left the garden, they were still producer. But now because of sin, God says it's going to be hard work. And now you also have to work hard. Because the ground no longer going to work with you. The resources that you think you have is going to work against you. The relationship that you have is going to work against you. But then it's because of your rebellion, you experience oppression. And after that, what happens is that there is always redemption. When Adam and Eve hide in the garden, when the man or woman of God in Scripture so-called knew they have not so-called pursued God, what happens is God pursued them, and we call that redemption. And so God judged humanity and impart grace. For when we use the word judge, it's not condemnation. But we use the word judge, it's about bring justice to a situation. God sees you rebel. God saw your rebellion led to oppression, and God has to judge it. Judge it as not to condemn you or put you to shame or point out your guilt, but to judge you because He wants to bring you to a place in which you can experience His grace upon grace. Amen. And from that, redemption leads us to what we call repentance. When we see God has done something good for us, something great for us, God has delivered us from our oppression, we call to Him, we repent. And this is when humanity recognizes need for redemption. Repentance is more than, as in first time we all know, repentance is not repenting from sin, but repenting is also involved changing our minds. Changing our minds mean in this context is I ought to stop putting myself under condemnation, or I ought to stay away from that oppressiveness that I'm experiencing in my life. I need to change my mind that I no longer need to live as an oppressor. Because God has given me redemption through Jesus Christ that I may come to know Him and my call up to Him. And when we call to Him from redemption that leads to repentance, it leads to restoration. And what is restoration? God so-called reintroduce, or God restores the purpose of creation. God says, once you know who you are, I want to restore who you were supposed to be. And that's why through Scripture, every time God keeps coming back for the Old Testament and New Testament, I will be their God, and they will be my people. And this is a conversation that God has with people, with humanity from ages past even till today. God wants to restore our losses. How many of us have losses that we need God to restore? And this is what restoration is. And the ultimate restoration God did for us is where we know Jesus Christ. We are what? Made new creation. There is a recreation. And recreation involves humanity stewards God's good gifts again. So when God has to introduce us back to who we were, and now God says, now you know who you are, you have discovered your identity, now this is your destiny, this is your purpose, now steward my gifts again. So So you look through the Old Testament or to the New Testament, you always can see this whole story, this pattern from creation to rebellion to oppression to redemption to repentance to restoration and recreation. And ultimately, we know recreation brings us back to creation. And we are looking for the age that is to come where God gives us a new heaven and new earth. Now, if you follow this pattern, the Bible will open itself up to you. Believe me, I tried that. Right? Don't believe me? Okay. Matthew chapter 9. Okay, let's read this text. 35 to 38 and chapter 10, verse 1. It says, can we read this together? It would be good. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Can anyone detect creation here? Can anyone detect rebellion here? Can you detect oppression? Can you detect repentance? Can you detect recreation? How many of you can find some of this pattern just in these few verses alone? You can. If you reflect it long enough, you're going to get it. But let me break it down for you. Next slide, please. This is what it means by the pattern. Creation. Jesus went out proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease. Now, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the God was hovering, right? God then called out the chaos into purpose, into order. This is a parallel. Like Jesus went into the world, just like the Spirit of God was hovering over the chaos, he went into towns and villages. What was the chaos? Sickness and diseases. And he's bringing down a order. So, in that sense, there is a creation part. Jesus went to bring forth creation into order. But then we see rebellion and oppression. Okay, these two verses repeat itself. Humanity abuses God's gift because man did not follow God. Sickness came. You and I fall sick not because we committed a sin. You and I fall sick because of the presence of sin. And so what happens is this. It says that they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were sick. They could not do something about their sickness. And then they were under oppression. It says they were sheep without a shepherd. And we all know the idea of harassed and helpless. Harassed means you are being put down. You're being held down. In fact, the Hebrew word says you are being molested. That is how strong the word is. And you're helpless. You are crying for help and no one is helping you. You are like sheep without a shepherd. Sin has brought about a rebellion that we choose not the way of God. And because we don't choose the way of God, it gives opportunity for the evil one, for darkness to come into our life. And some of us, before we know Jesus Christ, we were caught in darkness. We were harassed. We were helpless. We were sheep without a shepherd. And then there was redemption. And the redemption is when we talk about God judges humanity and impart justice. And where was the redemption part in that story we just read? Is that Jesus had compassion on them. While you are helpless, while you are harassed, while you are sheep without a shepherd, where you do not know where to go for help, you do not know even your Savior, he has come into your chaos to bring order. And the first thing he sees is always compassion. And that is why, remember when Adam and Eve hide themselves? The first thing God had compassion. Where are you? When Cain was angry with his brother, again, God says, where are you? Why are you angry? Why are you upset? When we mess up in our life, many times we think we're going to hear the thunderous voice of God, but I will assure you, brothers and sisters, there is a judgment of God. But often the judgment begins with that whisper, with a love and compassion. Where are you? And most time we all know when we mess up, we want to hide. And sometimes we hide from each other, we hide from the community, we hide from the church. And some of us, maybe even we are here, we are still hiding. But the thing is this, God is full of compassion because he wants to bring the redemption. And then we see the repentance. Jesus saw the crowds. Everywhere Jesus went, the towns or the city people came to him. They knew he could fix them. They came to be fixed. If you want a breakthrough, can I tell you? Sometimes we think, if I need a breakthrough, I need to have more faith. Can I tell you the truth? It's actually you need more humility than faith. This is the truth I'm telling you. Of many signs and wonders I see in my life, it's not so much faith, but humility. Humility is able to say, Lord, I mess up. And I'm here to receive again. And then what happens is this. When there was repentance, there was restoration. Remember, I say restoration is God restores the purpose of creation. And so when people was being healed, Jesus told his disciples, he says these words to them. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This is the creation again. The story of creation is go and be fruitful and multiply. You see, that pattern appears itself. And here was, as much as God has given the instruction to Adam and Eve, God is giving instruction to us, is come back to your creation purpose. And with that, then there is a recreation, right? Humanity stewards God's good gift. And what happened was this. First, chapter 10, verse 1, he says, Jesus called his 12 and then he gave them authority. He gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease. So you follow the pattern of creation. Jesus came into the scene seeing sick people and he began to minister to them. But it closed that whole story is that you and I are involved in both creation / recreation story. That means both God is doing something, but God has invited us to do something together with him. He has given us his divine authority to go to drive out what? Impure spirits. Of course, in the context of the gospel, it refers to demons, to powers and principalities, but it can also means to drive out wrong emotion, wrong thinking, things that suppresses people, things that people has rebelled against God and that has caused them a lot of helplessness and harassment in which they cannot break free. They are sheep without a shepherd, but you and I are supposed to go and drive out this impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Hallelujah. See the pattern? Okay, one more time. Okay, now I want to ask if you have a mobile phone or you have old schools like me, have your actual Bible? Let's put me in a special place with God. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. Okay, I want you to find it. Okay. And I want you to have groups of two or three with your neighbor. Just read it. Just read it, okay? Read it together. One take the odd verse, one take the even verse, whatever. You know, two or three people, just read it together, right? Take turns to read. No particular translation, up to you. If you choose the Amplified, it will be longer. You use the Good News Bible, it's shorter. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 to 20. Can we do that right now for the next few minutes? Okay, if you finish reading, just look up so I know. Have all you finished reading? Okay, very good. Now, Remember this biblical pattern. It always starts with creation. It always ends with recreation. But the bits in between doesn't happen as linear as you think. But you're always going to see this pattern. Now, looking at verse 1 to 20, have you all spotted the creation bit? Or the rebellion bit? Or the oppression bit? Redemption? Or repentance? Or restoration? Recreation? Okay, if you spotted one bit of it, just share with your neighbor that, hey, I spotted this bit. I think it fit into that pattern. Let's try it out. Okay. Okay, this is my take, okay? See whether we are in alignment, right? The part begins with creation will be in verse 1. Right? Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly beloved or dearly loved children and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loves us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So creation is to reflect back to God. God moves in certain ways, and here we're invited to recreate with God. So we can see both this opening verse is both the creation as well as the recreation part, that God is doing something, let us follow the example of God. But then there is also the rebellion part. Where? Verse 3. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talks, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So what Paul is saying, we must not act in rebellion. We must not behave in a way that acts against us really being the people of God. Because he says further, for such a person is an idolater. Right? In a sense, if we choose to rebel, we are actually worshiping ourselves. We make idols of ourselves. And then there is oppression. It says here in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. We can fall victims. We can fall into people's empty words. And the word empty words is not empty promises, but rather, it means words that lack substance, wisdom, and truth. And like it or not, out there in the world, there are a lot of things we get from media, get from TikTok, we get, don't know from where, there's lack substance, wisdom, and truth. Just because we hear it repeated many times doesn't mean it's true. In fact, you know, the Nazi, you know, one says, you tell a lie more than 3-4 times, people will think it's true. So a lot of things we hear out there, and it's not true. It may have a ring of truth, but it's not truth. It lacks substance, wisdom, and that puts people under oppression. As I say, the people I met from the ex-cult group, they were under oppression. And mind you, these people are not dumb people. They are pretty smart people. But somehow, there is a mind control. There is what we call in the old days brainwashing. And so they are caught. Because they are caught by empty words, there is oppression. Because the oppression is the fear of many things. Even though we have been delivered out of darkness into God's marvelous light, we still can live very oppressive life. And I say this out of love, brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of us are still feeling the oppression when we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. But there's redemption. Hallelujah. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Or light in the Lord, sorry. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Now we are caught up from darkness. Now we can live as children of light. That means we have all things being shown to us. And then we can have repentance, having nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 13 says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. I need to caution people, when you talk about exposed darkness, we're not calling to become moral policemen or what I call religious policemen. That means we're not there to catch people when they're doing wrong. Exposed means you are under oppression. You are under darkness. You are under a weight. So exposing is not to shame people, make them feel guilty, but when we expose those things, we call it out, not at that person, but we're calling out that thing that's doing to that person. You get the difference? So I don't want us to go around, oh, Bible says, I'm exposing things, I'm exposing sin. Right? Make sure you expose sin, not exposing other things. Now, and what is important, it leads us to restoration. It says what? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are dark. So now, there is a restoration. Don't live as unwise, foolish people, but live as wise people. Right? Don't be foolish, right? You know, but now to be wise, what does it mean? It's to know the Lord's will, right? And so, when we know the Lord's will, is entering the recreation again, right? Next verse says, what is recreation? Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and song from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, this is what I've got to learn. Beginning, remember creation? Live with God as an example, right? That's what Paul begins in chapter 5, right? He says, follows God's example as love children and walk in the way of love. It closes with recreation. How do I live example of God? How do I steward God's good gift? Is this, it says here, be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Are you all now filled with the Spirit? Yes. Right, can you have more? Of course. This is the paradox of Christianity. You have 100%, but you can have some more. It's especially for those of us who are having FOMO, right? Fear of missing out, God will give you more. You never lose out. You have 100%, but here's some more. You can be healthy, but can be what? Healthier. Right, you can be joyful, but can be more joyful. And this is what God is doing. He says, recreation is we ourselves now being new creation in Christ. It changes the dynamics of our relationship with people, with others. With people, we say what? Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs. God knows some of us cannot sing. So say, speak the song. Just speak it, don't sing the song. You can't sing, just speak it. Speak the psalms, the hymns, and spiritual song. Actually, what are we doing? You know, when we are singing worship, if you understand the core of worship, we are actually recreating or creating together with God, isn't it? Look at all the lyrics that we sing. Good lyrics is always about God, I want you to do something for me. Creating. And I want you to use me to do something else. Recreating. All worship is always involved in this pattern of creating and recreating. And so when we speak psalms, hymns, and spiritual song to one another, we are pronouncing, we are proclaiming that God, do something for this brother, do something for this sister, bring the fullness of who he or who she is to the purpose of creation. Do you all agree? Of course. Then community no longer be difficult. And then what the best part of this all, he says, we sing and make music. Very good, huh? The Spirit say, don't sing to each other. You're going to kill the joy. But with God, you can sing. God can take it. God, after all, make you. He can take your screeching, right? He can take it. Sing and make music. Right? Make music. Actually, if you look at the translation, it says, make all kinds of spiritual sound. Just make music, just sing to the Lord from your heart to the Lord. Amen. I love it. This recreation. I speak to announce creation story into your life. When you speak to me, you're announcing creation story in my life. But when we sing and make music to the Lord from our heart, we are saying, Lord, you are indeed worthy of it all. From you are all things. Through you are all things. And indeed, Lord, you are worthy. And this is the story which I want to close. Looking back at the slide again. Next slide, please. All right, take a picture, really. I want you all to spend this week and ask yourself this question. Where am I in the biblical pattern? Where am I in the biblical pattern? I hope you're not in rebellion. I hope you're not in oppression, but honestly, I'll tell you, when I was examining myself, I will honestly tell you, some parts of my life, I'm still rebelling. Some parts, I can sense oppression. But the thing is this, I need to ask myself even deeper, which part of my life needs redemption? That God, I need you to save me from my worries. God, I need you to save me from my pain. Or God, I need to repent for my wrong thinking about others. Lord, I need to stop having the oppressive spirit of unforgiveness. I can't forgive, Lord. Maybe this is our struggle. Okay? The thing is this, we can go further. God, restore to me what has been lost. Restore to me and help me to live my life in the new creation story. So this week, I just want you all, and maybe for life groups, this is something you all want to discuss, but I want to encourage you in your 3-2-1, in your personal conversation, in your family, really take time and ask this question, where am I in the biblical pattern? I will say this sometimes in churches or in sermons or messages we hear, when people do not understand this pattern, you will hear messages get stuck. It's always a message of repenting, right? Always getting people to repent, 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 repent. Or you get messages of a lot of oppression, condemnation. There's something wrong with you. Because if you read the word and get stuck by rebellion, oppression, all messages are always beating up people. But if we press on into redemption and repentance and restoration, then we begin to sing songs of joy over each other. We speak the truth of God into each other's life. Then something beautiful happens. Okay, this is first part of my sermon. Next week, I'll complete the second part. But this is a foundation truth I want us to have about biblical pattern, because this is a message I will bring next week. It's about how do we apply this biblical pattern into our family life. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for truth that sets us free. And I just pray even today, Lord, as you unveil to us biblical pattern of who we are and what we have in Christ, we pray that, Father, your work will not stop, but indeed bring increase, you'll bring prosperity, you'll bring health and healing for us individually in our relationship with you, but also in our relationship with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.